We're now going to move into the second part of the show, and as I would be saying good evening to everybody, I'm actually going to be saying good morning, Max Egan.
Good morning, Sean. Nice to be here again.
It's great to have you back on the show. I'm absolutely honoured to have you here on Out of the Bag. And you came to my rescue at short notice. What you didn't know, but I did tell you just slightly off air there, is that my home was hit, struck by lightning. So I was panicking that I wouldn't even have a show this week. But I'm on a friend's laptop back at my home. Last week's show did go ahead from my mother's house, believe it or not, and I borrowed her laptop. So welcome to the show, Max, and we're going to fire straight in with how are you and what have you been up to recently?
Well, catching up on a lot of the work that I had left behind when I was in my travels, and I've been preparing for the Full Circle project. It's a bit of a mission to get that off the ground, and I'm also in the process of moving, finding a new place to live, all sorts of stuff like that. So I've got a lot of traveling happening this year. So yeah, very, very busy actually for me. I've been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of shows, and I've been looking into things such as this, One People's Trust, which sounds very interesting. I'm actually going to try to get a show together with these people over the next week or two, and I'll try to get them to explain it to me on air.
Yeah, who are they, Max?
Well, it's a group of people. There's a lady called Heather who's a UCC lawyer from America, and there's a couple of guys here from Australia who did a video called What the FUQ, Frequently Unanswered Questions About the Australian Government. I've got that on my website. I mean, I don't really want to say too much about it because I don't know that much about it myself. I've only got a very, very basic outline of what the trust is. But it seems like it's something quite workable and quite feasible, and I think they're already having success with it. And when you really look at how the system works, because this lady Heather, I can't remember her last name offhand, because she's a UCC lawyer, she's managed to write out this document in legalese and basically collapse the whole corporate system. So it's already been filed as UCC, so essentially it doesn't exist anymore. And what they've managed to do is they've kind of put together a system. If you watch that film, What the FUQ, it's a short documentary. It's on my website, thecrowhouse.com. Okay. If you go there and look in the recommended viewing section, and it says, What the FUQ, Frequency Unanswered Questions About the Australian Government. And what they've done, what they basically did was they asked the government to identify themselves. Basically, and that's kind of what they've done with this whole One People's Trust, is they've asked the governments of the world to identify themselves, to show us that they are not corporations, because they're not allowed to be. And they are. They can't show us that they're not, because they are. Yeah. And because they're corporations and they're actually not supposed to be corporations, that means that every corporate charter that's been granted by government is void. It's all invalid. So the whole corporate system is collapsed simply by collapsing the top of it. And it kind of puts the governments between a rock and a hard place. They don't really know. They can't respond. They can't go in either direction. Mm. And what they've basically done, I think, and I don't want to get this wrong, but it appears that what they've done is they've asked the governments of the world to basically identify themselves, and they've said, well, and also you need to show us proof that we, the people, don't own all of this infrastructure you've created, because we paid for it. So it's all ours, basically. And what they're doing now is they're preparing courtesy letters so that you can actually show people that they're operating on behalf of a foreclosed corporation, because they've all been foreclosed on. And but via a UCC filing. And so if you have someone come up to you to extort money from you, like a police officer or a sheriff or someone like that, you can show them this courtesy letter, which shows them that the corporation that they represented has been collapsed, and that now if they wish to deal with you, here are the rules of engagement, basically, because they need to understand that they are no longer operating in their limited liability capacity. They are now operating in full 100% liability. Okay, unlimited liability. Mm-hmm. And what we are doing it now, it is actually two people dealing with each other, because the corporation you represent has been collapsed.
That is fantastic.
Well, yeah, and I've done this through UCC filings where the proper UCC lawyer has done it. And I had a quick conversation the other day. I listened to a quick radio show, and she seems like a very, very spiritual and very, very organized lady, like a good, very, very good head on her shoulders. And everyone's been working towards this. We've all been trying to find the way through it, you know, with all the free man stuff and all the sovereignty stuff and everything we've attempted to do. What this person's kind of realized is that, well, it's all corporate, so all you have to do is reclaim your sovereignty under the Creator, because there is nothing between you and the Creator, right? Everything else is fiction. We created the whole lot. Government have chosen to place themselves between you and the Creator, and yet they have a legal system that they claim is based on God's law in the Bible. Yet they're claiming they're a higher authority than God, according, you know, in regard to you, because they're putting themselves between you and God. So they're claiming they're a higher authority than God, so therefore they can't really have a legal system, can they? If they base it on the laws of God and they claim they're a higher authority than God, then where do they get their legal system? You know, so there's all sorts of ways of looking at it. But it would appear that that's what they've done, and they've done the UCC filing. It's already been filed, so therefore it's in the public domain now. It's already been done. Operations are already collapsed, and they're preparing these courtesy letters. It's interesting as well, they did this in September, I think they actually did the filing. And it's interesting that since then we've seen the Pope resign and Queen Beatrice step down. And yes. I would suggest that this isn't a coincidence. So, yeah, that's something that I've been looking into, and I plan to look into it a lot more. I'll hopefully be able to bring you more information on it. And, look, I hope I didn't get any of that wrong that I said, because, like I said, I only have a very, very skeletal understanding of what they've actually done. That's why I want to have them on the show. I want to have a few of them on the show and have a roundtable discussion with them to explain it to me on air, because I figure that'll help get everybody else up to speed. So, yeah, I hope I haven't got that wrong, but that seems to be the general outline of what they're doing. It's very, very exciting.
No, it is very exciting. Is there anything we can do to speed that sort of process up here in Ireland? Can we join in? Can we do something like
well,
that?
Well, I think you already are. It's already there. It's done. It's already done. You don't have to join in. You're already part of it, because this UCC filing has been created and already lodged. All you really have to do is go to their website and get the documents that you can, like the courtesy letter that I was talking about.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
These will stand up in court, because it's a corporate system, it's a commercial system, and it's all done through UCC filings, which is the Uniform Commercial Code. So, I mean, here it is. It's there. These corporations are collapsed, because all of these corporations were created by governments that are actually invalid, because they were corporations and didn't tell us. It's, you know, and all the stuff that they created, it's all ours. So they've created this thing called a CVAC as well, which I don't really understand, but I think the CVAC is, basically, all this infrastructure is now there. It all belongs to us, so we need to decide what we're going to do with it. Do we want to keep a similar system to what we've got, or, you know, what do we want to do? So we have to really get people up to speed with this and start letting them know that the terrain has now changed. It's already changed. See, everybody's already part of it, because if Ireland's a corporation, well, it had to have a UCC filing. UCC is the Uniform Commercial Code. It's in America. They've done this, they filed it all in the United States, and the document mentions the United States and blah, 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 but it doesn't matter, because the United States, that's where the UCC filings are. So because they've done that in America with the UCC, then that automatically collapses all of those governments that are registered as on the UCC, you know what I'm saying?
That's fantastic. I've been saying for years to friends back in England, when I lived in England for most of my young adulthood, that, you know, it isn't governments that run our country, it's corporations. And I was called an idiot, you know, but everyone's copping onto it now.
Well, yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. And this is what they've done. So all you really do need to do is go to the website, I think, which is peoplestrust1776.org. And I think they're going to have documents there within the next 48 hours or so, which will be documents that you can, like the courtesy letter that I was showing, you'll be able to find the CVAC document. You'll be able to find a letter that you can use to let people know, which is probably like the courtesy letter, to let people know that you don't have any trouble with these people yet, but you're just letting them know if they want to deal with you, these are the terms and conditions. And there'll be another letter, I believe, which will be for people who are already entangled in the system, already entangled in the court system. there'll be a letter there that they can, so they can extricate themselves from that as well. And this is all using their legal system, you know. So, you know, it's not, they can't even claim it's these sovereign free men trying to break the law or get away with the, this is just holding them accountable to the laws that they made, basically, is the way they've done it, because it's all done through the UCC.
So, that's brilliant.
You know, it addresses the fiction by using the fiction so that we can step above the fiction and become who we are again. You know, and that's
yes.
what it's all about.
Sorry, Max. I just want to thank Reverend Jim. He's put the peoplestrust1776.org into the chat room there, and other people are asking People's Trust what. But there you go. The link's in there. It's peoplestrust1776.org. So we'll be checking that.
Yeah, so it's very, very exciting. And there's another site called optin.com. It's opt, optin.com, and those are the two actual legitimate sites. There's other sites that are out there that are going OPT, People's Trust, blah, blah, blah. They've got donate buttons, and they want you to donate. These are all, most of them are bogus. They're not affiliated with, you know, unless there's someone in their area that needs money to help get it out or whatever. I don't know. But according to the people who are actually running it, those two sites that I just gave you are the two legitimate websites that are addressing this trust. So that's where you're going to get all the information
from. So
what's
that second website, Max? Optin?
Optin. It's opt-in.com. Okay.
OPPT.com.
I think it's double PT. Might be single P, but it might be double P.
I'd say the word opt is single P, but
well, single. Yeah, but this is because the OPPT is the One People's Public Trust, so they may have used two T's, you know.
They may have done that. Yeah, so I'm going to put that in there anyway. Okay, that's grand. So that is really exciting news. I was listening to some of your recent YouTube clips on your YouTube channel, Max, and you were talking to a lady, Rina Iliadis, is it?
Yeah, Rina Iliadis, wonderful lady, yeah.
Yeah, and the work they're trying to do, and believe it or not, timing, synchronicity is an amazing thing. I mean, you were on my the last show that we did together. You were talking about, you know, trustees, and they are our trustees, and they are out of trust, basically. You know, that was really good. But when I was listening to Rina Iliadis and what you were explaining about her and what she was doing about the local councils and trying to reform them as local government, which then changes everything. But it's the synchronicity is amazing, because only yesterday or the day before, many Irish men and women were arrested for trying to film in council offices around the country.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. And I'm not sure what the laws are over there, but here you're they can't prevent you from doing that. But you've got to understand that it's the councils making bylaws. But these councils are actually businesses. They're private businesses that are operating public space. These councils are supposed to be, like people from our community that we trust. We these are upstanding members of our community that we elect to positions where they are able to liaise with government for us, to get us the things we need for our community to have a vibrant and viable community. That's what council should be. That's where it used to be. But now they've incorporated. So now they're businesses, they're corporations that make their own rules, and they subject their rules onto us. But we're not members of the corporation. So basically this, and they're inhabiting a public office. This is a, like I said, people that we elect as trustees, basically, to manage, you know, to liaise with government for us. They've turned that around, turned it into a company, and now they're inflicting rules upon us, and they're using us to milk our wealth from us. And this is a breach of trust. It's a clear breach of trust. And not only that, but what are these private companies doing in public buildings that are supposed to house our council that represents us, our spokespeople, our advocates? You know, that's what they're supposed to be. So she's basically gone in there and got them to explain what a referendum was, and you know, do you understand what a referendum is? And they basically, you know, they had to deal with that question. And she said, well, you know, basically in the 1988 referendum, we all voted no to giving you guys constitutional recognition, which would be the ability to make laws So, you know, how do you have any jurisdiction? Basically, is in a nutshell, is what she was saying in a nice way. And they ended up, the next time they came there, the council had written a new law to say that they basically couldn't do what they'd done last time, and none of these things are laws. So she basically went in there to challenge their jurisdiction. And what we're seeing in Australia is they're having another referendum to try to grant local councils constitutional recognition. If they do this, then this removes lawmaking from the upper and lower house. It doesn't have to go through government, doesn't have to go through a system of checks and balances. It means your local council, the six people on your local council, can say, hey, do you want to do this? And they all vote yes, and then it becomes a law in your area. So it essentially turns the place into, you know, little mini states. Each council controlled area will be a mini state. And what you find in Australia is that all of these councils get their directives from an organization called the Municipality Association of Australia. And there are subsidiary ones, Municipality Association of Victoria, of Queensland, of New South Wales. So, but these, all of these organizations get their directives from the United Nations. They have very, very close ties to the United Nations. And what they're pushing is Agenda 21. So what this will do, if this passes through, if they can get the people to vote yes on this, that what it will do, it will give under the counter control of Australia to the United Nations via the mechanism of local councils. And they're doing it by saying, oh, we need to give these people, these local councils, they're calling them local governments, incidentally. They're saying we need to give local government constitutional recognition in order to ensure continued federal funding. So it's going to be good for your area if we can, if you vote this so that your local government can get more money from us, because that's good for your community. You get more money, you know. But they're already calling them local government. Well, how can they be local government if we want to have a referendum to give them constitutional recognition? If they were government, they'd already have constitutional recognition. They're not local government at all. So it's a scam. It's an absolute scam. They're just planting that seed in people's minds. And this is a model. You'll see this, if they get away with it here, you'll see this happen in other countries. This is what they will do. Because Australia is very, very far ahead. We're 3 or 4 years ahead of everywhere else when it comes to Agenda 21. And this is the process that they're using to lock the whole system down. Then they'll be able to milk the wealth of this country, suburb by suburb, district by district. That's the plan.
Well, Max, I was talking to Vin off air earlier today about this very subject, and he really pointed out to me that they have been doing that in Ireland for years. It just, you know, it isn't, you know, above the radar. People just don't know about it. And I've attended a couple of council meetings. One I was actually physically ejected from just for being there. Didn't do anything, as it happens. Wasn't doing anything. There was a demonstration outside, and they basically lumped me in with the same people. But Vin was telling me, informing me, really, that this is going on. We're under British law here. It's as simple as that. You know, we now you could say it's UN EU law, but it's still the same bankers and politicians that are, as you say, pushing Agenda 21.
Oh yeah, look, it's a global thing, you know, and different steps in different countries. I'm not sure whether local councils have constitutional recognition in your country. Perhaps they do. I'm not really sure what the laws are, but they make it a little bit different in every country. But the beauty of it is that they're all corporate. It's all a whole corporate system. It's all got UCC, filings. And so therefore this, trust collapses all of that. And, it's now lodged in the public, it collapses the whole thing. All of these corporations are now invalid. They're all foreclosed on. And that's so why we all need to get on board with this, eh?
Yeah, yeah. If you don't mind me asking, and I'll say this with ignorance, they're then, obviously, you're mentioning this, it seems to be a way of usurping the whole lot. Can we possibly replace our, in inverted commas, elected corporate councillors with caring, wonderful people from the community to become our, as it used to be, the elders of the area who would do good for the community?
Well, that's what this whole CVAC is all about. Like, it's deciding what to do with the system that we've got here that's in place. But what we need to do is we need to structure a system. And that's what I believe they've done with this form, is they've structured a system whereby it benefits the community rather than provides stumbling blocks for the community, which is what government does now. And we will also be seeking to hold people accountable for their actions, because what they've done, I mean, these people have acted in a criminal manner. And that cannot be understated. It really can't. I mean, we need to deal with this. And so, yeah, I think there is a mechanism to do that in place. And that's what's so good about this. But again, I don't know the full story. This is just what I got from listening to this call and from having a quick chat with these people. But what I can see, I mean, it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, it really does.
But when I started looking at it, I went, well, hang on, this actually all makes perfect sense. And when you look at the filing that they've done, and they've like signed it in blood, they've done the whole thing. They've got their fingerprints there in blood. I mean, they've done everything that is required. And this whole UCC filing, it's all written in legalese, so it circumvents the whole thing. And it really does look good. And if they are to deny this and this collapse and this reclaiming of power by the people who created this system. Now, this is basically the people stepping above the system and reining it in and saying, hey, enough is enough. We're taking reality back now. You guys have done a damn awful job, so we're going to take humanity in a different direction. This is everything I've been saying. This is exactly what it looks like. If they deny this, because it's filed with the UCC, then they're denying the whole thing. They collapse their whole system by default if they deny this, because they can't invalidate this without invalidating themselves. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They can't really move. If people know this, they know the terrain has changed, and they can inform people that the playing field has now changed and these are the new rules, well, there's nothing for them to do. There's nowhere for them to go. They're backed into a corner.
That's fantastic. And I just think, you know, obviously with... I'm one of these type of people that says, come on then, let's go for it, you know? And sometimes that can be the wrong thing to do, because we need to think it out properly and make sure we plan ahead as they do, to make sure we do this right and they can't just wheedle their way back in.
Well, the thing is, people, people have to understand that the controlling hand at the top of all this is a very, very small group of people. Most of the people that are working within it are the local police, your local mayors, your councillors, lawyers, judges. A lot of these people really think they're serving humanity. They think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
they don't know what the system is. So you can't blame these people. That's what this courtesy letter is about. Hey, look, man, I don't have any problem with you. My problem is with the company that you're representing, but this letter should fill you in on what's just happened to that company. So, you know, if you wish to continue, you need to know that you're now operating in an unlimited liability capacity. That's what you need to know, that this is just two men talking to each other and dealing with each other. And if you choose to exercise a right of ownership over me, then I will pursue the matter, you know, because the company that you're representing has been foreclosed. You're operating on behalf of a foreclosed company. You just haven't figured that out yet. So here is the courtesy letter to let you know what the new playing field is.
Yeah, I just think this is really good, because there is a spiritual jump. You're aware of it, Max. I mean, a lot of people who listen to TNS radio, you know, they're aware of more and more people accepting, or rather being able to accept the truth, when before they were so conditioned and controlled they couldn't or wouldn't. So there has been this massive jump, and 2013 is going to be one mother of a year, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, it's a tipping point. I said that, I've been saying that since 2008. I said it in my film, The Big Picture. What we're going to see at the December 2012 date is we're going to see a tipping point. We're going to see when they try to bring in the New World Order in earnest. But it's always darkest before the dawn. It's been getting so dark and so black, and with the carbon tax and the CSG, and the chemtrails, and it's really been getting so black. The attack on the Second Amendment in the United States, the wars in the Middle East, Syria, Libya, everything has been getting very, very dark. But then along comes this bright light right now, and this is, I believe, something that will work. I'm actually very excited about it.
Yeah.
And, I don't get excited about too many things. I've seen a lot of this stuff in the Freeman movement, and I've seen a lot of this and a lot of that, and I've seen very few things that'll actually work. But this, when I look at this, it because it's following their rules and it is so simple, and if they, like I said, if they forget it and they don't honour it, then they're invalidating the entire UCC system. So therefore, they don't exist anymore, you know. It's back to complete anarchy if they do that. And I'm sure that even they don't want that.
No,
so,
no.
It just puts control of the whole mechanism back into the hands of the people, and it gives us the mechanism to do it. So that's what I find exciting about this. And I think it's right on cue, because it has to happen this year. This year is going to bring major change in either direction. And yeah. all it will take for this to really get off the ground is for people to drop their fear and actually stand in it. Put on, you know, stand there and say, hey, let the people behind them know that the road's changed, the terrain has changed. You know, and then that person's got to let the next person know that the terrain has now changed. You know, we can do this if we all get on board. The whole system's all there for everybody. We've already got it. I mean, this all this infrastructure's here. We just have to decide what we're going to do with it now. But all the corporate system has been officially collapsed by the whole UCC system, by their whole system. So that's what I find exciting about it.
It is really exciting. And at the same time, you know, as much as you say this darkness exists, I mean, we're having smart meters being put in around Ireland, and the chemtrailing here is absolutely beyond a joke. Also with the vaccines and the, well, the water, the fluoridation, etc. But does that not help us in a way? Because they've shown how criminal they really are, how psychopathic they are.
Oh yeah, we've got so much to prove what we're saying. We've got so much to show that there is criminal activity going on and that these people are in breach of trust. I mean, just the fact that people are in a state of hardship. I mean, look at. I always say Exhibit A, the Earth. You know, if you're claiming you're not in breach of trust, then Exhibit A, the Earth. Have a look at the place. It's a mess. Yeah. And this has all been done through corporate charters granted by governments, which are invalid in themselves because they're corporations and they're not allowed to be. So,
the madness of it baffles me. I mean, they're actually, you know, let's use a bit of a Freemason thing. The fact that they're playing on their chessboard, they're not going to have a chessboard left. They're poisoning it, they're killing it, they're ruining it, they're decimating it. You know,
well, yeah, they're insane.
Yeah, they are insane. They're dead.
They are. They're insane. I mean, mad scientists. They're insane. I mean, think about Harp. They were wondering when they turned this thing on whether it would set the ozone layer on fire, you know? But they turned it on anyway.
They turned it on. Yeah, they did.
They didn't know and they turned it on. I mean, it didn't do it, but they didn't know and they still turned it on. When they did the first atomic test, they didn't know whether it would set the atmosphere on fire. They were scared that it might, but they still did the test. They're insane. Can I say? They're insane.
No, you're dead right. I've got a question from the chat room here, a question from Max Egan from Michael Stephen, Live Mike. He says, how successful has your message of government in breach of trust being received by those that have heard it?
Look, very, 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 very well received. And everything that I've said, when I explain to people that the basis of every relationship that you have is trust. It's all based on trust. Especially, these are elected officials. These aren't monarchy. These aren't self-appointed rulers. These are people we elected to manage our society for us so that we would be, you know, have a viable future and a viable society. And look at the state of the world. Look at how much people are in a state of hardship everywhere. This is clearly breach of trust. You know, and they're dispelling humankind in massive amounts and dispensing of humankind, discarding them in order to support an economic model which we kind of made up. It doesn't exist. It's just numbers on a screen. And this is a huge breach of trust. And when I've explained it to people, when I've gone around and done the talks, it's really, really resonated with people. It absolutely has. And even with this one people's trust, when I look at it, this is every single thing that I've been saying. So it isn't even, and I don't even know if they've heard my message, these people, but it's the same thing. It's going into the field. People are waking up to this is what's going on. We are all in this together, and humanity is basically one organism. We're all in this together. There is nobody who's better or worse or more important than anybody else. We're all in this together, and we are all just as important, just as unique, and just as beautiful, and just as wonderful as each other. And so there are no rulers amongst us. What we did as a species is we created a system that would be able to govern our lives in order for us to move forward to a viable future. And all you have to do is look at the planet to see that this has not been done. And not only that, but it's not been done, and it's been degraded to the extent that it has by people we elected to positions of trust. If people can't see this, then I don't know, they must have their head, they must have concrete around their head or something, because this is so obvious. It's so obvious that this is what's going on, and all we have to do is step back and say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore, and we have the power to do it because we are mankind. We were given dominion over the earth by the Creator that you base your whole legal system on. I always go through those points in the Bible. Look, you know, the whole system, they make you swear on the Bible. So therefore, it's based in ecclesiastic law. Well, there's three passages in the Bible that you need to look at, and the rest of it you can throw away. But in a legal sense, there's three passages you can look at. The one is where it says God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. That's us. The other part where it says that God's law is the only law and that man-made law is an abomination. That sounds pretty good. And there's another part that says thou shalt not serve two masters. So therefore, that means we can only serve the Creator. So if the legal system is placing itself between us and the Creator, it's in breach of trust. I mean, this is all, you know, and if they are, then they don't have a legal system, as I said before. So when I explain it to people in these really, really simple terms, yeah, it's absolutely resonated with everybody. And I went right around the world saying this to people everywhere I went, and people go, well, yeah, it's just obvious. It's just plain obvious. And that's how we step above it. You've got to know who you are, and that's what this trust is all about. It's about people reclaiming their status as mankind, basically.
Yep. And at the moment, we're funding their insanity, and it does seem to be a very rude thing that they are making us fund it, because it's not through choice by most people. A lot of people do seem, unfortunately, to have the concrete around their heads, Max, you know. They do want to not look at the truth fully and, I suppose, stick their head in the sand.
Well, that's the beauty of this as well. I mean, a lot of people want parents. They don't want self-responsibility, and so we still can have an infrastructure for them. We still can have a society, and we've got all the infrastructure here. And like you say, we do own it all. We paid for it all, which is good in a way. I mean, we built the IMF, the World Bank, the Vatican. We built the whole lot. We paid for it all ourselves, and unless they can show that we didn't. I mean, the Vatican certainly didn't. I mean, it got money from the people. The government certainly didn't build anything. We built it all. We gave them the money to do it. Because we created government. It's all a creation of us. So that's the beauty of this. We've still got this infrastructure in place, and we can simply restructure it so that it benefits humankind. And over a period of a couple of generations, people will start regaining self-responsibility. They'll find they don't need parents. They'll start to find out who they are, because they won't be in a state of fear-based mind control that this system does. It instills that into everybody. Puts everybody in scarcity, puts everybody in a state of fear-based mind control so that they toe the line and do what they're told and walk between the lines. So it prevents people from being themselves and ever finding themselves. We can change all that, but we can still have this infrastructure there for those people who need a system. And they'll gradually work through it over a period of a couple of generations. But what it does is it puts us back in control rather than having this small group of psychopaths in control and puppeteering this corporate system. It collapses the whole corporate system. In fact, it's already collapsed.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. I'm glad to hear that it's already collapsed. I want to see the results of that very, very soon. And I'm sure many people who are listening to us talking now also agree that they want to see it too. You mentioned the Bible and a few parables from the Bible that you would quote or mention. And obviously it makes sense then to people. I just look at the Lord's Prayer and just thought, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And apparently there are no banks and there's no corporates, it's no taxes, no wars, no raping, no maiming in heaven. So if we're trying to make heaven on earth, then what the feck is going on?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the beauty of it is that's what they base their legal system on, is that book. And it says that stuff in that book, so, hey, I guess you guys are in breach of trust of even the own book that you based your own legal system on. I mean, come on, you know, if you're going to be making the laws that you do, then and you're basing them on the Bible, well, how come you're breaking all of them?
You know? Max, it's time to throw the book at them.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's time to walk away. Give them a slap on the wrist. So they've been very, very naughty people. They can go away. Go live on Christmas Island for a little while or something where you put the refugees, and we'll see how you like it for a while. And if you start behaving nicely, we might let you back into society.
Okay, you know, well, how do we do
poor little
that?
Things, you know?
How do we do that, Max? Because I'm still looking at the Garda Síochána or the police force here in Ireland supporting corporate entities. You know, I still see them battering us when we go on our demonstrations and try and speak up. The judicial system seems to be corrupt as hell. And you know, how do we go in and change this? Is this what you're saying? These documents from the websites you're saying that then gives us the armory, the tools to do so.
Well, it extricates us from their system straight away. So we can say, look, okay, I can appreciate you're trying to enforce this upon me, but you need to know that you're now operating in an unlimited liability capacity. And if you wish to do this, well, we can follow it through and go to your own court, and I can show these papers in your own court, and these papers all stand up because it's done with a UCC filing. It's all there. It's collapsed. There's nothing you can do to negate it. It's done. And you'll have to face I'll be pushing against you for slavery charges or whatever. I mean, you'll have to go through this. You need to look at these documents and understand that this is a proper legal document. It's been filed. It's in the public record. And that this is what's been done. So now that we've done that, now that we've collapsed the system, once enough people get wind of it and start using this, and all we have to do is stand back from the system. We're basically standing, you know, it's there and we're here, and the twain shall never meet. We don't have to participate in it anymore, but it's still there. We just have to educate those within it so that they understand that the system they're operating within is now invalid, and then we can have referendums and things like people's mandates to decide what we actually want to do. If we want to hold these people accountable, the people that have constructed this corporate system, the people that have been lying to us for so long, well, we have their legal system with which to do this. And I believe things such as people's mandates and referendums, you know, publicly instigated referendums, publicly initiated, things like this will be the way of the future. So that the people actually have a say. I mean, you know, but again, you need some sort of hand there, some sort of guiding hand, wise people, elders, someone who's going to, you know, ultimately ensure things go in the right direction. We do need some honest people there to kind of run it, you know, because we've got it here. We've got this structure here. And the one thing wrong with referendums and democratic votes is that half the people are uneducated. They really don't know what's going on, and they tend to vote in the wrong direction simply through ignorance, lack of knowledge.
You know, peer pressure seems to be the one. I mean, we had a recent referendum, a children's referendum here, they called it. A children's rights referendum, apparently, and all you saw everywhere were yes, 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 and there was absolutely nothing, and this was funded by the government, by the way, there were no anything to side with the no, and also they used the fact that yes is the way of the government and no is the negative, you know? So it's
pressure. Yeah, well, that as well, you know. So this all collapses with proper education as well. But you know, the way they seem to have done this trust is they've got it laid out so simply, so the simple man can follow it. And
What do you say to those people who come back and say, "Well, Sean, Max, you know, they've got the army, they've got the military complex, they've got drones, they've got all this type of power to use against us. How could we possibly compete against it?"
Well, by educating people, by, like I said, letting the people know that the terrain has changed. These people are now operating in unlimited liability, all of them. You know, they can still do that, but, you know, there's still 6 billion or 6.5 billion of us. A lot of the people in the military, a lot of the people in the police are good people.
Yes.
You know, that really do believe they're doing the right thing, and they want things done by the letter of the law. Well, now we can show them that this has been done by the letter of the law, and if they deny this and they invalidate this, then they have no law. They have no system at all, because if they invalidate this, then they invalidate the entire UCC system. So what do they have? You know, if they do that, then society will collapse to anarchy, which nobody wants. So it's in the police's best interest, it's in the military's best interest, it's in the best interests of everybody except the controlling hand, the elite banksters and all these guys. It's in everybody's best interest to look at this and go along with this, because this is now the new terrain. It's not debatable, it's not negotiable, it's not like we're heading to this, it's not like we want to do this, it's been done, it's already been done. You guys are all operating for foreclosed corporations. Here is the paperwork to show it. And
fantastic.
If you want to push it, hey, fine, we'll go to court. Fine. If you want to do it, we'll go to court and we'll deal with it in court because this is what's going on. And the judge
so
can't.
So how do we this. How do we get this onto the mainstream media? Is it happening?
Well, they did. They've done two radio shows, OPPT radio shows. Lisa Harrison, an Australian woman, has been putting this together. They've done two shows so far. I believe that there are 140,000 people tuned into the first show online.
Wow.
On Blog Talk Radio, and there are 197,000 tuned into the show last Tuesday. They're doing them every Tuesday, I think.
Right. Time is moving on and people are gathering, yeah?
People are gathering. So it's going to hit the mainstream anyway. As soon as people start using it, it's going to happen on the streets, and we won't need the media. Once people get wind of this and they see the simplicity of it, I think it's going to really take over with a groundswell. But it's up to us. It's up to all of us to really look at it and investigate it and make sure it is sound and then get it out. That's half the reason I'm telling you, because like I said, I only have a skeletal understanding, but I've seen enough to get me pretty excited.
Yeah.
And if we get people like you and people like Vincent and some of the guys in Ireland who are really out there on the forefront of some of this free man and sovereignty stuff looking at this, they're going to look at it and they'll soon discover if there's any flaws. But it all seems pretty damn good, you know. And I think once they see it, they're going to see the simplicity of it and how they can go out. You can take this door to door and let people know. I mean, you can explain it to them very simply. And there's enough people tuning into these radio shows now that I think the word's going to spread very rapidly. I've actually had people sending me emails about it for the last month from everywhere. I've had people, Max, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And I keep thinking, oh, it's another one of these things, you know. But then I've got so many. And then I got a call from my sister, and she said, hey, they're having a radio show about OPPT in 20 minutes. Why don't you tune in? So I did. And it was a friend of mine, Lisa Harrison, running the show. And I thought, well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
And then I heard it. I could only listen to the first hour, but I thought, this almost sounds too good to be true. But then I went and looked at the document, and I thought, well, it makes sense. All of this makes absolute sense. I can't see a hole in it, you know. And it's so simple, and it's basically everything I've been saying. This is how we rein it in. This is how we rein it in. And this gives people the tools that they need to do it. So, yeah, I'd really like the guys over there to look at it. And if I'm wrong, if I'm barking up the wrong tree, if I'm getting too excited over nothing, then please let me know.
Yeah.
But it does look very, very good. And I've been sort of barking around these trees for quite a while now. And like I said, I don't get excited over too many things, but this has definitely got a bit of a tingle happening in my spine. So,
yeah, no, it sounds absolutely wonderful. And believe me, Max, we are going to really look into this. And if we come up with the same, if that tingling feeling ends up to be, you know, there for a reason, and it is the too good to be true, but it is true situation, I'm telling you, door to door in Ireland is an easy thing to do.
Well, yeah, you know, and like I said, they can't invalidate it, because if they do, they're invalidating the whole UCC filing system, which means they invalidate every company and corporation themselves. So, like I said, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They can't really move backwards or forwards at the moment. It just depends on public awareness. If public awareness of this takes off, then it's game, set, and match. That's checkmate.
Okay, and just say, like, from your point of view, if this works and is successful and we bring the whole system down this way, don't get me wrong, but I'm for forgiveness. Is there room for these corporate people to enter the new transition, the new place?
Well, that will be up for the people. I mean, there's going to be a certain percentage of them that are psychopaths that that's the way they are.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the top head people that are running this planet are psychopathic. I mean, look at the planet. I mean, you couldn't order the carpet bombing of some country. You couldn't impoverish an entire country and starve 500 million children, you know.
No, I mean, you
couldn't do any of this stuff, you know. So these are psychopathic entities, and there'll be some people that won't go with it, that will hang on like a tick, you know. We just leave that up to the people. I'm all for forgiveness, because I think most of the people, like 99% of the people who operate within this system, have no clue what they're swimming in. They have absolutely no idea.
No.
It's even so corporate that, you know, they think it's all about the bottom line. They think they're doing the right thing by making their system more efficient. I think they're caring, responsible people. You know, so
and once they hear the truth, Max, they'll be with us.
Well, I think they will. You know, once they see that this stands up in court, people start standing up and saying, hey, no, sorry, you can't give me that bill. You can't extort money from me like that. You can't take my land. You can't do the things you're doing because you're operating on behalf of a foreclosed entity, and here's the paperwork to show it. So, hey, well, we can work within your legal system. That's all good. I have no problem with that. Here it is. Yeah. This shows that actually, you know, we can work with your legal system probably long enough for you to understand that even that is invalid because it was created by a government which is invalid. So, you know, we've got the only really real way we can work in this legal system is through common law, because all this other stuff's basically invalid, you know, because it was created by companies that were invalid, you know. So it's going to be a gradual process, and it's got to be a gentle process, which is the purpose of the courtesy letter. You know, it isn't an attack. It isn't standing there and in my power and demanding my rights and saying, oh, I'm sovereign and this is the way it is. It's a courtesy letter to simply let you know that the playing field has now changed. These are the new rules. If you'd like to go and investigate it for yourself, here's where you go and do it. Once you've done it, come back and we'll talk. You know?
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, look, Max, we've covered that. I don't think we can say any more about it apart from let's go and investigate it. Let's go and use it if it's real, and let's look forward to the future. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to change the subject. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. I've listened to a fair few things on your website, etc. Can you explain the missing part of the universe for me and my listeners?
The missing part of the universe?
Yeah, do you know what I'm getting at there? You know where they say there's just the black stuff, the dark matter? Now,
well, dark matter is an interesting terminology that science came up with to explain stuff that they can't find. You know, once they tested the universe, they got all the mass of the universe, and they condensed it down and worked out what all the mass was. They found out that 97% or 98% of the universe is missing. So they invented dark matter. You know, something's there, so it must be dark matter. You know, that's what it is, and that's it. They forget about it. It's because, you know, they have to explain it somehow. It's pretty hard to sort of sweep 98% of reality under the carpet, you know.
Yeah, so, because you've admitted to you know, fantastic experiences. Now you've mentioned that you have ceremonies and all the rest of it, but you've admitted to experiencing things that we're told we're not or incapable of experiencing. I personally have had them even without ceremony. So we know that some of this dark matter they talk about is in fact an expansion of the human consciousness, maybe? Am I speaking out of turn by saying that?
Well, no, I think that's where human consciousness comes from. I think the entire universe is made up of energy. You know, tiny, tiny particles of energy, particles, strands, strings, whatever, I don't know, whatever. We don't know. It's just energy. It's like a fabric. You know, the fabric of reality is energy. And everything comes from that energy. So it's actually the space that's real. Matter is simply divisions in space. It's the space that's real because that's where the energy comes from, and the energy is conscious. And then we have these biological computers, which are all made of atoms, which are all empty space. They're just here because we believe them to be here. We perceive them to be here. And each body is a different biological computer tuned to a different frequency that plucks one frequency of energy from the field and downloads it into that body, so you experience that frequency as Sean, and you have that perspective of reality. That's what's unique to us all, is our perspective. But ultimately, it all comes from this energy. Energy is the entire universe. That's what everything comes from. And the energy itself is conscious, because consciousness creates everything. You know. So to me, that's kind of how I can explain it to people. And I've had experiences where I've connected to it, like without ceremony or anything, just in meditational experiences. It wasn't even like meditation. It was like a download. You know, I was kind of sitting there, and suddenly I had this massive download, and I connected with the entire quantum universe. It was like I could was in every layer of the fractal all at once. And it's a fractal reality. Reality is fractal. You know, it all goes down through layers and layers of fractals. You've got consciousness, like you can imagine consciousness running through still frames at light speed. And that's what experience, you know what I'm saying? So every possibility is there. The only thing that's impossible is that which you believe to be impossible, because we literally create matter by observation. You can look at the measurement problem, which will explain that. The double slit experiment, it explains that. The matter behaves differently whether we're observing it or not. And it's the observation of matter that creates matter. So that's why when we look out with the Hubble telescope, we're looking out to the universe to see if there's anything there, we're always going to find something, because by looking, we create something to see.
We create it, yes, yes. That makes perfect sense, Max.
Well, it's true. If you look at the measurement problem, you know, a scientist goes to measure an atom, but he can't, because the electrons that revolve around the nucleus are infinite. They literally exist everywhere at once. Now, you think about that. That's a complete mind mess. That just screws with your head completely. How can something exist everywhere at once? But it does. The electrons exist everywhere at once. And they don't coalesce to form the atom until the scientist actually goes to measure the atom. Then they coalesce to form the atom. So the act of observation creates the atom. And everything's made of atoms. And atoms are 99.99999% empty space. So that's 1/10,000 of 1% of an atom is actually there, which means 1/10,000 of 1% of my body is actually here. 1/10,000 of 1% of this chair I'm sitting on is actually here. It's only here because I perceive it to be there, because I believe it's there. So therefore, you know, we're caught in our left brain in these scientific parameters that are given to us by society, and we believe that everything that exists within these parameters is possible and everything outside of it is not possible. So this is the reality that we get. But if we can create matter by observing it, then I would suggest that anything is possible. It's simply what we believe is possible, you know?
Well, that's brilliant, because, man, I love the physical, do you know?
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that limits what's possible is our belief, because we've got this belief system that says, no, you've got to think, it's got to work within these scientific parameters. Well, why? If we can create matter by observing it, I think we can do pretty well anything, you know? So it's just what we believe and what we perceive our capabilities to be. But we are consciousness itself. We're a manifestation of consciousness itself, and we're connected to everything in the universe through the energetic field that surrounds us. And it is. It's the space that's real. Even when you look at an object, if you looked at an object and there was no space around it, how would you see the object? It's the space that defines the object. You know what I'm saying? It's just a right brain way of looking at things. And an interesting thing is the Australian Aboriginal, or the Aborigine people in Australia, when they navigate by the stars when they're crossing the country, but they don't look at the stars. They look at the space between the stars and the patterns that the space forms between the stars. Mm. So that's what gives the stars their form, of course, is the space that they exist in. So the space, and of course the space isn't empty, because everything radiates. You radiate. That's how come I can see you. Light radiates. Everything you can see radiates. What does it radiate into? It radiates into the field. And no energy is ever lost and no energy is ever gained, so therefore the field is not empty. The field is full of energy, because that's what everything radiates into.
Yeah. Listen, I've got a question from Van Man Dave in the chat box here. He says, Sean, what does your guest think of Sheldrake's theory on morphic fields?
Okay, you got me on that one. I'm not familiar with Sheldrake's theory on morphic fields, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it got me on that one as well. I'm afraid I'm going to have to look it up myself. So there you go, Van Man Dave. We've come up on a blank on that one, but we'll look into it, okay?
Yeah, I'll definitely have to research that one.
Yeah, same here. I was hoping you'd know, Max.
Yeah, you caught me on a wild one there, mate, a wild card.
But do you know what? Do you know what's so fantastic about wild cards?
Well, it sends you off in a new direction to find out something new, so they're great.
Well, that's one thing, but also the ability to know, to say, I don't know the answer to that.
Rather than just make up something.
Yeah, and that puts credence, Max, on what you've already said.
Yes, well, Sheldrake's field. Oh, yes, I think that's very important. You can't. It's no good talking about things if you don't know about them. I've never heard of Sheldrake or the morph field, so that's definitely something I'll be looking into.
Yeah, so Van Man Dave, we don't know what we don't know, okay? So we'll leave that one there. Okay. So the toxins in our system affecting our perceptions and the way we do things, etc.
Well, of course. I mean, this happens on so many levels, Sean. I mean, and it dumbs us down. It inhibits our ability to be ourselves. But not only that, it changes our biology. And this is all part of the depopulation plan. I truly believe the whole GMO agenda. Because if you look at the tests with genetically modified organisms, you'll find that animals that eat these things over a period of 3 generations, they lose the ability to breed. All sorts of things. I mean, this is all part of the depopulation program. We've got plants that create their own insecticides now so that the insects won't eat them. You know, but we're eating them. They're full of insecticide. Oh, no, it's safe for humans. Well, hang on. You know, they've got food that's pest resistant. What does that mean? It means nothing else will eat it. You know, nothing will touch this food, but they're feeding it to humans. Oh, and we think it's all good. There's something seriously wrong here.
It relates back to the insanity, Max, the total insanity. You know, they are going ahead and doing this stuff. They're creating invented GM foods and all the rest of it without knowing, without testing it. They're testing on us. They actually know what the crack is. I think they are that insane that they are, as you say, depopulating us.
Well, they are, and they're creating a new species because, like you say, it's a big experiment. They don't know what the outcome will be because everybody's biology is slightly different. So they put this out, put different things out in different areas, you know, stuff into chemtrails, and then they start messing around with the electromagnetic fields. That's why they're putting smart meters everywhere. You know, transhumanism, the whole thing. I mean, but they don't really know what they're going to get. Of course they don't, because everybody's different. But they are genetically altering the entire human species, and in fact everything. They're altering all life on this planet because they're putting these GM crops and these nanoparticulates and barium and all the stuff that's in this aerial spray, and they're putting this into the entire environment. Well, in all Western countries anyway, something that I noticed when I was traveling was that it is the first world that all this stuff is more rampant in, such as chemtrails. You don't see chemtrails in the second world or the third world. Chemtrails are all through Europe. They're all through America. They're through England. They're through Australia. You don't find them in Israel, in Pakistan, in the Middle East, none of them in China.
Something that I discovered, and I can't for the life of me off the top of my head, only that we're talking about it now, I can't remember where I read it, I must check it up again, but apparently Paraguay is a country that is just not, the soil is kept normal and there's no chemtrailing, etc. And I was told, and whether it's true or not, I'd love to find out, it's because the British monarchy, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bush family, the Kissingers and all these Brzezinski people are buying land up in Paraguay, and that's where they're going to be, apparently, in the future.
Well, yeah, I mean, Paraguay is a nice place to live. See, the third world is the next horizon. This is what Agenda 21 is all about. You know, one of the objectives of Agenda 21 is to transfer the wealth out of the first world into the third world. So you're going to see a collapse. If the system continues the way it's going, you'll see a collapse of the first world, and you'll see the wealth transferred into the third world. So the people in the third world, we've created the third world ourselves by imposing a monetary system on them. We've put them in a state of scarcity, and we've managed to milk the resources and create an impoverished state for these people. Mm. So we basically created the third world ourselves. But now the people in the third world, they've now got televisions, they've got mobile phones, and they're seeing what the first world's like, and they want it. They want the technology. They want all the glitz and glamour that they see on the television, because that's the only side they see. They think what they see on the TV is real. That's what the first world's like. But a lot of these people in the third world, they're still very connected. They're still very earthy people. They're very nice people. And so we have to find a way of disconnecting them, which is what they'll do. They'll move the wealth and build that up. And over a period of two or three generations, these people will be completely disconnected from reality. They'll be completely enslaved to a corporate system. And then they'll collapse that and they'll move the wealth somewhere else. That's how they do it. That's how they disconnect people. So they need us to build up this civilization to create the infrastructure that they need to milk the wealth of the country, which is what the people do, because they perceive that they own this stuff, and then they willingly transfer it into the hands of those who issue the money because they can't keep up with the economic system, blah, blah, blah. That's how it kind of works.
So they feel they are the ultimate power on the planet, and they will do it through any means necessary, whether it be economic or even, you know, death and destruction.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can look at their track record. They've done all of the above, you know. They have no problem with any of that. I mean, they like to get the world fighting themselves as well. It's a good way. Get the people squabbling amongst each other, divide and conquer, you know. Then they come in and mop up the rest, you know. But that's where they're heading. And they've been doing this for quite a while, transferring wealth around the planet to build up certain areas and then crash them and transfer the wealth somewhere else. So that'd be why these people are buying in third world countries. Paraguay, I mean, Paraguay's a nice place to live. This is why there's no spraying in the third world as well. There's no chemtrails. No chemtrails anywhere in the third world. It's only the first world. So this is where the modification's happening. The genetic modification is happening to the first world. And they're basically reducing Australia to an open cut mine, you know, and they'll be doing similar things. I mean, they're fracking in England. They're fracking all across America. So they're really, really pushing Agenda 21 in all these Western countries, but they're not going to be able to do it in the third world countries until they've Westernized them. So that's why they need to transfer the wealth there.
They have a tried and tested formula, Max, and basically they've succeeded with us, they think, and that's what they'll take into the next area they go into. And one by one, for example, look at the African countries that are, each one is becoming a war zone. Next, they'll go in and they'll westernize it, etc., etc. I've a question here from Truthful Irish in the chat room. Based on what your guest has just said, does he believe that all life is atomic and therefore we are not even here? And if he agrees, what are we then?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, all matter is atomic because it's all made of atoms. But, you know, where do they come from? That's another question, you know. It's said that if you actually got all the matter in the universe and you took all the space from between the atoms out of the matter and you condensed all the universe down into one solid object, it would be about the size of a green pea. So that's kind of interesting. And, you know, I think that it's all based on perception. I really do. And you've got to really look at things such as the holographic universe theory. You know, if we can create matter by observing it, then anything is possible. And what is actually here is consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. That appears to be what's happening. And this is backed up by science. It's backed up by religion. What you find, really, if you look deep enough into spirituality, you look deep enough into science, you find that they actually complement each other. But you've got to get out of the whole Newtonian concept of science, because Newton had a few good ideas, but he didn't really have it that right, you know, because the whole Newtonian concept of science actually breaks down at the singularity. They can trace it back to what they call the Big Bang, but before that, before the Big Bang, when there was the singularity that caused the Big Bang, that the whole thing breaks down. So the Big Bang theory doesn't really work, you know. So it's interesting. I mean, where are we? We could be in a mainframe. We could be just the universe itself. This could be God, the mind of God, experiencing how God became God. I mean, we could go on about this for hours and hours. It's really a huge, huge issue, but it's a wonderful question.
Yeah. Well, I simply put it, I was going to say, Max, who are we?
Well, yeah, I know who I am, you know. I can't really speak for everybody else.
No. And you know, do you really? Because that's just based on a perception.
Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, often I'll say to people, well, really, if you think of it as consciousness, then there's only actually one of us here. And when I say that to people, they look at me and go, oh, my God, I hope it's me, you know.
Oh, that's great. Well, in a way, here's the question I have that comes from that, if you like. If we're all one consciousness, if, you know, there is only one person here, as they say, can we not just, with our own perception, turn these psychopaths into loving, caring, earth-looking-after type people?
Well, it is to be hoped. I mean, that would take a long spiritual path to do that, I think. You know, if we could rein this system in, and you know, the first thing we need to do to rein this system in, once we've reined it in, which we can do, I believe, through this trust, once we've done it, we need to get rid of this money system, introduce an honest money system, and we need to get all of the toxins out of the environment. Get rid of this control mechanism money system will get people out of fear-based mind control, get all the toxins out of the environment, which will start them to be biologically reconnected again, because there's this huge biological barrier between us and creation. Once we start getting things back on track that way, over a period of generations, we could possibly go in any new direction that we want. But I think it would take a lot to reconnect this, because there's been so much biological and electromagnetic interference, apart from the fear vibration and the stress that we're always in, which is very much keeping us in this situation. So I think it'll be a slow process, but yeah, I think we can do it.
Mm. But you see, I suppose the converse of that is that they are aware of all this. They, as in the few that are controlling the world, these people that think it's their natural fiefdom, that they own the world, that they are creating them. You know, their perception is this psychopathic, depopulating insanity.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like a psychopath will always maneuver themselves to a position where they're in control of others. They always want to be leaders. We're very, very wary of people who want to be leaders. There's people who will lead because it's necessary, and they only lead in as much as that people look to them for advice and they're wise and they try to help others around them, so they're considered to be a leader. But someone who wants to get up there and lead, I know the way and I'm going to take you here and I'm going to do that, most of these people are psychopaths because they like to be in control of others. And what you find is that they create a system whereby their morality becomes the basis for the system they've created. And so therefore it affects everybody who works within those parameters like a pathogen in their mind. And it causes people to behave in a psychopathic and sociopathic manner. That's just the way it works. You know, when you've got a psychopath who's in control of a corporation or a government, then their morality becomes the unperceived reality of those who work within that system. That's just the way it works. I mean, it is very hard to try to bring these people around. There used to be, I mean, shaman that would look after things like this, but apparently there's 1-3% of population are born out of balance, and they're born as psychopaths. They have no empathy. Whether it's a different gene strain or what, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it that much. I think the figure is 1-3% of people are born psychopaths. And we used to have shaman who would look out for these kids. They'd see who were the psychopaths, and they would ensure that these kids never got into positions of control in the village or whatever. But when we lost all of our shamanistic tradition, we saw the rise of these psychopaths, and psychopaths always recognize other psychopaths. They have very two-dimensional eyes. They look different, and they always recognize each other. So they will elevate psychopaths that are subservient to them to positions of power within their hierarchy, so that it's always run by a psychopathic consciousness. Whether the person really realizes it or not half the time, that's just the way it is. And that's the way this control system is based. So, I mean, it's very, very difficult to reconnect these people. They're just the way they are. That's just their frequency. And you can't really change it, because the only really way you can change people to alert people to these sorts of things is if they have empathy. You help them understand the consequences of their actions. But many psychopaths, or most psychopaths, all of them, have no empathy, which is why they do what they do. So very, very difficult thing to contend with, you know.
There's an awful lot of spokes to the wheel that we need to, I suppose, have spokesmen for. Many of them go, you know, obviously we need scientists who aren't insane, that are designing and creating things for our betterment, for our future. The same goes in the economy. I've got Mike and Tanya in the chat room, who the theory or scientific observation is not that we create matter by observing it, and I think he's quoting you there, but that we affect light by observing it.
Well, light is energy. I mean, really, that's where it all comes down to. If you look at the energetic universe, light is energy. I mean, energy, light and sound is what makes up all energy. So, I mean, everything's light, really. Everything's light and sound, different vibrational frequencies of light and sound. Yeah. That's the whole thing. And a lot of our problem is our inability to be able to process light in the correct manner, because we're kept in this fear-based, you know, totally convoluted perception of reality that we're given. Nice to see Mike in the chat room. Say hello to Mike for me as well. I love Mathematically Perfected Economy. I think it's great. I had him on the show a couple of years ago. And hopefully something like this OPPT will give us the ability to be able to implement something like this, because the money system has to change. It absolutely has to change. It's the glue that holds the whole system together. It's the most misunderstood stuff on the planet, stuff that we use all the time. And it's incredibly corrupt, the system that we've got. So we need to address that. That's number one, address the money system. Number two is get rid of all of this stuff out of the environment that's creating this toxic reality that we're living in, because this biological state that we're in, where our DNA is so inactive and our pineal gland's closed and we're breathing this poison air and drinking poison water and fluoride and all of this stuff, this has to change.
Yes.
And that's why it's so hard to wake people up to reality, because they're kept in this convoluted state
through a biological mechanism, an electromagnetic mechanism, and also a fear stress mechanism, which is the main result of the money system. So these are the main things we have to address. And I believe over a period of a couple of generations, if we can rein this system in and put the people back in control of the system and have trustees that actually act responsibly, and we act as their watchdogs to make sure they do, because, hey, once bitten, twice shy, then I think that over a period of a few generations, we will find that we won't have a society anything like what we've got now. We will become much, much more active. We'll come online again, so to speak. So that's what I'm hoping to see. And hopefully this is all these things are coming together now. There's been things like MPE that Mike's been working on. There's been all of this trust stuff and all this free man and sovereignty stuff that people have been going down so many different rabbit holes, and God bless them for doing it, because everyone's found out a different piece of the puzzle, but no one's really got the whole thing yet. Well, hopefully it's all been converged into what this woman's this trust, because she's a UCC lawyer who's actually got this spiritual understanding, who's actually on our side, and this all seems to work. So hopefully this is the mechanism we can use to implement all the stuff that we need.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think it also will bring in all the different spokes of that big wheel into that one thing. Now Mike Montagna says again, how will OPPT give us the opportunity that MPE and ACR comprises? And I sort of answered in the chat room myself, because I was listening to you talking then, that we don't know yet, Mike, but I think it can, from what has been said so far.
Well, yeah, because this is a way of stepping above the system. This has collapsed the whole corporate system. It's already collapsed. It's already there. The UCC filing's already been made. We just have to realise that now we've got this whole structure in place. All we have to do is decide what to do with it. So now we've got the ability that we don't even have to ask their permission to do this. We just have to alert the rest of the population to the fact that we are now in control. The playing field has now changed. So we can just implement these things as we see fit. If the people that are in place now won't do it, well, we can just replace them, because they're all in breach of trust anyway. Their whole system is collapsed. So, but we've got this infrastructure here. I mean, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's anybody's guess. I can't give anybody a defined pathway to freedom, but I can see that there's all of this stuff starting to gel, and I think some really, really positive things are going to come out of this by the end of this year.
Well, I genuinely think, I mean, you know, I've looked into MPE, and I genuinely think that it is a solution to our economy situation, and I do only think that that is one part of the big wheel. I know that people like Mike Montagna, and he might disagree with me now, I don't know, I think they are doing fantastic work, as you said, but they are seeing that one spoke of the wheel. We need to take
it out. The economic system is the glue that holds it together, but you know, the economy is, it's just numbers on the screen. It's not life, it's not living, it's not real. You know, it's a system we've created to be able to perform commerce with each other. I think once we reconnect ourselves to our higher senses and come online a bit more, I mean, some of the things I've experienced in meditation and in ceremony, the connection that we actually could have to this planet, I think it's beyond anybody's wildest comprehension what we are actually capable of. You know, I consider us to be operating to 3% of our capability at the moment, through my experience. And I think that reality, once we get the toxins out of our environment and we get ourselves out of this state of fear-based mind control and contrived stress, I think the sky's the limit. And I have no idea what sort of reality we could be capable of creating collectively, but I think it's going to be a lot better than what we've got. And I think, I mean, the economic model, the economic system, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need economics. We wouldn't need all the science and technology we've got, because we'd have inner technology come online. I think a lot of the technology we've been given is like a cheap digital clunky version of stuff that we're actually capable of ourselves. Experiences that I've had in meditation and ceremony have shown this to me very clearly. And I've been able to literally create my own reality through my intentions for the last 5 years. I've lived completely outside of society for the last 5 years. It's been really, really interesting, and it's just always worked. So, I mean, I think we're capable of things that we haven't even imagined yet. And I can't speculate what that may be collectively, but I think that once we get ourselves out of this stress and fear, and we most definitely get rid of the toxins in the environment, then the sky's the limit, and we'll find that in a few generations, we won't even need an economic system. We won't need a civilization, anything like what we've got. I firmly believe this, that this could be, you know, an evolutionary point of the consciousness that we're experiencing at the moment.
Yeah. Well, do you know, absolute consensual representation is also being asked. What about ACR?
What about ACR?
Yeah, that's what Mike says in the chat room there.
Well, what do you mean? What's
absolute
what's
consensual representation? I mean, we'd have to go into it, I suppose. So Mike's podcasts are well worth listening to, and maybe I won't continue with the MPE conversation at this point, because it's I genuinely, and I've said that we disagree, Mike. Sorry about that. That it is one spoke of a bigger wheel. It really is. You've got to look at the bigger picture, and I think Matt's hit the nail on the head with that.
Well, it's the economic system is the glue that holds it together. But there's no reason we should be focused on an economic model. There's no reason why our lives should be based on commerce, you know. And I just can't see that that's what human consciousness is supposed to be. I really can't. But I mean, it's a very important issue. The money system is an extremely important issue, and we need something that's going to free human kind from the shackles of perpetual debt slavery that they're in. And that's what MPE does, and that's why it's so good. And I think we should absolutely implement it. But I think it'll simply be a stepping stone to something far, far greater than what anybody can even imagine. Because once we've implemented something like that, and we've got these toxins out, see, people can't imagine how disconnected from reality they actually are. You know, we've got a species that's using 3% of its DNA, operating to 3% of its of consciousness. Our pineal glands close, and we're educated to use only one side of our brain. And we only use about a tenth of that. So, you know, we are far, far degraded from what we could actually be. And I think once we've implemented something like MPE and we've got these toxins out, in a few generations, you're going to find that we are completely different to what we thought we were. So the sky's the limit. I really, really think that. But hey, I think MPE is great, and I think it absolutely should be implemented. Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. In fact, the reason I sort of giggled when you said what you just said is that you said what I had written down next to say to you: is MPE a stepping stone?
Well, it is. I think it's a stepping stone to something that we cannot even imagine. I really think that the human species is capable of so, so much more than what we're being led to believe. And I think that it's we need something like that, because that will free ourselves from the financial shackles and the stress which is creating most of this. Because we're so stressed out, and we're kept in a state of scarcity all the time, so we're clawing over each other to buy all this stuff that we don't need, because we're given all these yardsticks by... I mean, it's incredible. You know, you can see the mess that we're in. And yeah. I think it's a great tool for that, and I think it's a wonderful thing, and it should have been implemented years ago. But I think the economy's fiction. I mean, we made it up. It's just numbers on a screen. It's not alive. That's what I mean when I say it's fiction. It's not alive. You can't go and poke it with a stick. You can't go and smell it and taste it. It's not alive. You can't hug it. You can't talk with it. You know.
Well, it is out there ruining people's lives via the corporate entities that exist.
Well, it is, and I think that, like I said, I mean, I just believe we're capable of much, much more than what we believe is possible. You know, we're locked in this belief system through our education and through our perception of what science has provided us for us. You know, it's given us these parameters that we have to operate and think within, and that's the problem that we face. But I think, you know, all of these things are pieces of the puzzle that are needed. But there isn't anything, any one thing really that's more important than the other. We've got to find a way of putting all this together and reclaiming the power of ourselves. That's the most important thing we do. Step above the system to realize that government is something that exists on paper only. We made it up. We just made it up. We wrote it down in a book, and people say, okay, this is it. And then guys put on expensive suits and they do what this book tells them. And they add bits to this book all the time. But that's all it is. It only exists on paper. It's not real. We made the whole thing up. It's not alive, although it's kind of like its own energetic organism. It's not something that's actually alive. It's something that we created. And that which you create cannot enslave you unless you allow it to. It cannot control you unless you allow it to. And that's what we've done. We've created this system, and then we've allowed ourselves to be controlled by it. But it's got to the stage now where the whole globe is in a state of virtual freefall. So we need to step above it and reclaim who we are so we can rein this system in. That's what I see this OPPT doing. And I see that this OPPT is the way that we can implement something like MPE. I think it's a great way to do it because we can step above their whole corporate system. We don't have to argue with politicians or push this through or anything. We've collapsed the whole system. Now we just have to decide what we want to do with it. And perhaps what we want to do with it is introduce MPE. So let's just introduce it, you know, because we have the means to do it now. The legal means have already been provided for us through this trust.
Yeah. Well, I am very excited about the news that you've come out with. I'm really going to be listening into the radio show that you're going to have with these people. My God, if we can't make that, put it on a disc and post it into every every single door we can possibly do, you know?
Well, yeah, even a mass distribution of these letters, pamphlets, I mean, get the documents and hand them out to people. I mean, I think that we are really on the verge of something great, but we've all got to put down our division and realize that we all hold a piece of the puzzle. We have to bring it together. We've really got to put down our differences and we've got to unite and bring this together. All people of the truth movement or alternative research movement, all people who've got like MPE, OPPT, this all has to come together. People have to put down their differences, realize that we're all in this together. We've got to find the way through because it's all workable. The whole thing is workable. Microbiota is an incredibly important piece of this. So it's all workable, but we've got to start acting. As species and beings.
With respect, and I'm not saying with respect to cut across you, I mean we have to act with absolute respect for each other. I mean, you know, somebody who might be au fait and even intellectually based on the economy, for example, might not be spiritually aware and they don't even know it. And vice versa, someone who is spiritually aware might not be economically savvy. And that's something we need to hold hands, work together, and be nice to each other about.
Well, absolutely, because we need to deal with kid gloves with most of the population. We really do. They need gently coaxing into the fact that the terrain has now changed, you know, and that's what we have to do. We absolutely have to respect these people because they're only ignorant because they've been taught to be ignorant. They only have no knowledge and they only have no understanding of this because they've been taught to think that way. And it's the same with the people who work within the system. As I was saying before, the judges, the lawyers, a lot of the politicians, a lot of these people really do believe they are acting out of integrity and they're doing the right thing. Now, they're not consciously evil. They're just operating within a system which is essentially psychopathic because it was created by psychopaths.
So they don't know.
They don't know they're doing this, you know.
Yeah, they actually believe, sadly, that what they are doing is correct, is right, and in fact, they would fight their corner, you know, to keep them. I said this to somebody and it really upset them a while ago, but a rapist actually justifies his actions.
Yeah, a lot of them probably do. Oh, she deserved it. Look at the way she was dressed, you know. Yeah, I mean, they do, but they're psychopaths. I mean, they're sociopaths, they're narcissists. I mean, what can you say? You know, a narcissist will always justify his actions because he's all there is, you know. That's just the way they are, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in Palestine, actually, when I spoke about the women wearing the veils and the baggy clothes and stuff, and I'll tell you, some of the women in the Middle East are the most beautiful women you've ever seen, and they wear that. They say it isn't that they're forced to; it's just that the men can't be trusted. They look at us, they get urges, and they can't be trusted because you know the men. Just they treat their women with such respect. I didn't see any of the oppression of women like people talk about. I think there is oppression in certain societies, but that's part of the culture in that country. It's not Islam. It's the culture in that particular country. And I think that the way the women cover themselves up is because the men just can't be trusted, and that's the way they do it, you know. So, yeah, but, I mean, rapists, they do. They justify their actions. A lot of evil people justify their actions because they're sociopaths, they're narcissists, and it's all about them, and that's just the way they think. That's why we need our shaman back, Sean.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been called a shaman by somebody, but it's just a bloody label, isn't it? What we need is wise people to step forward and be brave enough to say something, not as leaders, but as speakers of truth, brave enough to say it through the mire. And I think, Max, and we're coming to the end of our show now, that is something you are doing. And I thank you for it. For the economy and things like that, that is something that a brave person like Mike Montagna and his people with MBE and all the rest of it are doing. I also think in many, many other subject matters that matter. They really do matter. These are physical manifestations of whatever perception it is. They exist. Wars exist. I said rape exists. All these things exist. We need to stop them from existing. How do we do it? We tackle the bloody problem head on.
We do, you know, and I think that with a proper education and a proper approach to reality, then people will. I think most of these problems are a result of this system that people are forced to live in. It disconnects them so much. And I totally bless the work. I totally respect the work Mike's done because we need that. And out of all the money systems people have tried to offer, I think that's the only one that would actually work. So, I absolutely think that all these pieces need to come together. They really do.
They do. And I mean, you know, I've got people educating me on a daily basis. I am so honored myself, Max, as a simple poet to be given an opportunity to go on a radio station and meet and talk to people who are genuinely bringing solutions to the table that will change our world.
Well, yeah, it's a great honour that we can all do that, and it's great that you do it, Sean. I love what you do, and thank God that there are people like you that want to do this. I mean, it's happening everywhere now. There's so many people and so many radio hosts and so many countries stepping up now, and it's really good to be part of it.
It's brilliant. And Max, I love the work you do, and I'm going to hope that Truthful Irish, who has now stepped in, and I want to thank Vin, I want to thank Tom Metcalf for a fantastic interview at the beginning of the show. We'll be hearing much, much more about him. Max, thank you so much for coming on the show again. At short notice, you wouldn't believe the panic I had, and look at the show we've ended up with. It's been brilliant. Thank you.
My pleasure, Sean.
Thank you very much. Truthful Irish, I hope you put a tune on, and I want to just thank every single person in the chat room, every single person on Facebook, all you listeners, the Scottish Sovereigns, I love you, all you people, thank you so much, and good night.